Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mike and the Mad Dog. Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
Hi, Mike and the Mad Dog along the way. Hour number 5 here on the YES Network WFAN. Nice to have you aboard. Taking it right until 6:20. Been a feisty show today. Peter Laviolette fired as the head coach of the New York Islanders. That's been a big theme. Derek Jeter named Yankee captain another one. But here's Mike Milbury, the Islander general manager, who joins us here on Sports Radio 66. Mike, Chris, and Mike, thank you for coming on. How are you doing today?
Good to say hello again, guys. How are you?
Mike, you've been the topic of conversation most of our day, so we didn't expect it to be that way, but it is. So the first thing I would say is 2 years, two playoff runs for a young coach that you brought in. Why the change?
Well, you know, it's we are results-oriented business, and there's nothing to be embarrassed about in terms of making the playoffs, particularly after we had one owner after another and the kind of run that we had, and going from a $15 million payroll to respectability in terms of economics. There's certainly reason to be critical of the decision based on that. But if you'd been around the team and seen the team, I think you would have seen by the end, and certainly in the last 25 games of the season, a lack of cohesion and a lack of identity. And there's a standard I hold a team and a coach to, and myself, that if the team has got some talent and then they play with conditioning and motivation and discipline, that we're going to win our fair share of games. And I think by that criteria, we failed miserably. I think in the last 25 games or so, we came out flat in a good percentage of them. I think we won 6 of our last 22. We won our last home game in the first week of March. There were issues when talking to the team generally and in the group that they were concerned about those areas. But those are correctable in many ways, discipline and conditioning being the easy one, motivation being the tougher one. But the reason that I felt that a change was necessary right now was I think that the line of communication between the coach and the players had snapped. And when that break occurs, it is a very difficult, if not impossible, thing to recover from. I tried over the last 6 weeks to find a way or to find an answer that would lead me to giving Peter a fresh start with us, and in talking to Peter, and we did several times in the last couple weeks, he was concerned if he thought I'd lost the team or he'd lost the team, that he would be sitting there at a lame duck and the players would be looking over their shoulder as soon as we hit the first bump in the road. And that might very well be true. And ultimately, I felt that breakdown in communication was enough of an issue, and it is, generally speaking, probably the single most common factor for relieving a coach of his responsibilities, that it was enough of a factor to make this change.
Mike, how are you through the GM?
Well,
you have
Chris,
done a. You let's be fair. You got to say it the way it is. You have not done a good job here, and yet you continue to hire and fire coaches. Your drafting is pathetic. You have not done a good job with your trades,
and you're
continually sitting
Chris,
that seat.
Ask the question that makes
Why
sense.
Why are you so good,
I mean,
GM?
Because in the last 2 years, since Charles Wong got here, we've made the playoffs 2 years. 3 years he's been here, we've made a dramatic swing. We've acquired significant talent in Alexi Yashin, Michael Pekka, Adrian O'Coin, Chris Osgood before he was about to become unrestricted as a free agent. We've drafted well enough with guys like Conley or Payette to acquire a guy like Pekka, and we're now in a position where we're in the playoff run 2 years in a row, and for that, I guess that's how I've kept my job. Now, if you have other criticisms,
yeah, I do.
Happy to answer the question.
I mean,
well,
you just ask
the question.
Let me ask the question. Can I ask the question?
Good.
You've acquired three goalies. That's like picking three picks and three quarterbacks, and all of, you know, we don't know about DiPietro yet, but all of the first two have failed, and you have drafted three of them.
How in the world
are you still sitting here?
Let's go to specific names, Chris. What are you talking
about?
Well,
Fichaud, you got him. How'd that work out?
Eric Fichaud was here when I got here. Eric Fichaud was, a nice try and never amounted to anything in this organization or anything else. He's a great kid. He was a good try. Would have been great if we had turned it around with him. The pick that we had was Roberto Luongo, which proved to be a very good pick, actually.
Right.
But at the time, we were so busy shuffling assets around. We had a young goaltender. We opted to make a significant trade with Mark Parrish, who's been a 30-goal scorer, and Oleg Kovacha, who we hope will turn around and be a 60-point player. And if he does, then we got what we wanted. If we didn't, then we've made a mistake.
How about all these great players that the Islander organization? You can't chalk it up all to money, whether it's Bartuzzi. How come all these guys are all-star seasons for other teams and not for the Islanders?
Well, I mean, you don't turn it around overnight, and we scurried around trying to find a way to compete at a low-end budget, but when we were given a chance to do it, I think pretty quickly we put it in order to be respectable. We're not satisfied to be mediocre, trying to get to a point where we're certainly competing at a higher level. We have a young goaltender we think has got a very bright future with Nienema, O'Coin, Hamerlick, Janssen. We have a top four defense that is arguably is one of the top defenses in the league. Nienema just joined us at the end of the year. I think it'll be easier to see that when the team gets together in September.
We're going to base your career as an Islander general manager really on the last 2 years and the last 2 years solely.
Well, you can base it anything on you want. You asked me while I was still here, and I'm saying that because we've had a dramatic improvement in point totals in the last couple of seasons.
But the coach who was part of that point totals is no longer here.
No question. There is no question that he was part of it, and he's part of the problem that revealed itself at the end of the year, part of a problem that I deemed, if not insurmountable, so large that it was going to set us back and put him at jeopardy early on, and would make it easy for the team to do what they did at the end of the year, which was to tune him out.
Mike, let me go back to that for a second, okay? And we'll
sure.
get, you know, there's other stuff we can get back to. Don't get back to it, because I want to get back to the Lavalette thing.
Sure.
You take a hit for bringing in a coach 2 years ago who you believed in, and now it broke apart. Did you and Lavalette break apart? Did you lose confidence in Lavalette?
It was not so much that I think my problem was this. When Peter got here, we made a bunch of acquisitions, and I basically said, Peter, Jesus, just get us to the playoffs. I don't care how you do it, play a trap, play aggressive, do whatever, and I let him run with it, and he did. We had a funny first year with Peter. We were brilliant out of the gate. If you'll recall, we flatlined in the middle and finished okay. We had a great series against Toronto.
So far so good for year one, he gets a passing grade for year one.
That's right.
Now year two, tell me what happened.
We had certain concerns against Toronto. You saw the degree of physical play. We acquired a Weimer, a veteran, tough player. We acquired an Aaron Asham. We thought we addressed. We acquired a defenseman that he liked in Tamander. We thought we bolstered positions that we needed to bolster. We came out of the gate, and the goaltending was no good. It's the opposite effect of what happened last year. And by November, we were dead last in the league. I mean, literally dead last in the league. And at that point, Peter was feeling some heat and, wondering about the situation. And it was at that point that Charles and I discussed it. And he said, listen, let's take the heat off this guy. I mean, he had a good first season. We don't want him to worry about it. And we gave him an extension in early November at the darkest hour, perhaps, of our season. To the team's credit, to Peter's credit, we dug out of it for a while. But by the end of the season, we turned into a team that was, I think, a shadow of what we thought it could have been. We looked like we were disinterested. And Peter and I talked about this. He would freely admit that in the last quarter of the season, 3 out of 4 games, we weren't ready to go. We were taking undisciplined penalties. We were unsuccessful in terms of the surely in terms of the record. But that, to me, is not what brought about this change. The change was brought about because I think he wasn't able to put into effect a system. They were not listening to him. We had public bickering. We had private bickering.
Did you allow him, Mike? Let me ask you this: you talk about breakdown of communication. We're talking with Mike Milbury. Breakdown of communication with the players and all of that. Did you allow a situation, and did the owner allow a situation where the players had a direct line of communication to you and to the owner, which is deadly to any coach? Was that allowed?
Believe me, we try to make it as open as possible. But was there second guessing of Peter to the manager?
Or are they allowed to come complain?
No, that wasn't the issue. At the end of the season, my fault in this was, and I should have been more involved from the beginning. You know, I went to Peter with my issues. I went to him with let's do this on the power play. Let's settle in on a system. But I think Peter, headstrong, had a good first year. Don't blame him. You got to have an ego in this business. I'm glad he did and still does. I wish I had been more involved in some of the decisions that were made.
Why isn't he salvageable for a third year? A guy who showed promise. You'd admit he showed promise.
I agree that he showed promise.
Why wouldn't you try to salvage this guy for a third year and maybe see if he becomes a big coach?
Because I believe that the team had tuned him out, and he's going to try to wipe the slate clean, and I don't believe that that's possible. And in talking to people about what happens when a team loses contact with a coach, what happens to, you know, how can he get him back? By and large, the answer is no. And the answer is only yes when there's a massive personnel change. Right. I'd like to, believe me, the last place I want to be today is sitting here talking to you guys about this. The easy thing for me is to let it slide, let him go, because it would have been politically correct thing to do.
Mike,
but I don't think it was good for the organization, and that's ultimately what I'm here to do, is to try to do what I think is right for the organization.
Mike, let's hire and add them up for me. How many coaches have you hired and fired here since you've been a general manager of the Islanders, including yourself, by the way?
The head coaches have been, not counting the interim coaches, Chris.
Well, I got to count them because they're part of it.
Don't count them because they were there because
I'm not going to count the coach who was. I'm not going to count the coach who was here when you got the job.
If you want, but I'm telling you that the head coaches.
I have to count. Go ahead.
You could put an asterisk beside him.
Absolutely not. You brought him in as an interim. Then you fired him. I got to count that.
How many coaches, Chris? How many coaches have the New Jersey Devils had in the last?
They won 2 cups, for goodness' sake.
How many coaches have the Anaheim Ducks had in the last 8 years?
And they're in a cup final with this guy they brought in here.
Finals last year. How many of the Rangers have?
We don't live in it. Mike, I'm talking about your track record. How many coaches? I asked a simple question.
I'm asking you.
How many coaches have you hired and fired since you've been an Islander general manager? Give me count them up for me.
I have hired head coaches, not interim coaches. You figure out the interim coaches. I've hired myself, Rick Bonus, Butch Goring, and Peter Laviolette. In the 8 years that I'm here,
Sterling makes
5.
5, and how many interim coaches?
My ninth year.
And how many interim coaches?
There were 2 other interim coaches, and they were short.
So, Mike, let me get this straight. You've been a general manager of the New York Islanders, and in your 9 years, you have had, under your tutelage, 7 coaches. That is a disgrace.
That's the way you want to interpret it, Chris.
I mean, you can't be the general manager if you put 7 guys in. 7! Not 3, not 2, 7 people. How do you get a chance to make this change? Come on, 7 coaches in 9 years? That's not
good.
Right. You don't want an organization that way.
If you have another question, Chris, ask it.
I just did.
If you have another question, you got the answer, so let's move on.
How would you answer that? Do you think 7 coaches in your 9 years
I've
is acceptable?
We've had 4 head coaches. Steve Sterling makes 5.
And you've had 2 interim.
The ninth year. The matter is, that's the nature of the business.
Well, 7 coaches in 9 years.
Question, if you have another question, ask it.
You're drafting. If I go look at, I don't have a book in front of me. I'm just going to ask it overall. If I go look at Mike Milbury's track record drafting And if I was just a talent evaluator in the NHL, would I be impressed?
I don't think you'd be disheartened at all. I think that the drafting has been good. Have we made mistakes? Yeah, it's a crapshoot with 18-year-old players. But we've put together enough assets that we've been able to acquire different people. We haven't kept them all, but you're going to see a bunch more that are joining our team this year. We'll have at least three or four more that are ready to, including DiPietro, including Mapletoft, including Goddard, that will join our team in all likelihood in the fall. And I'm not embarrassed at all about the drafting.
Do you take culpability in Laviolette's failure here in your eyes?
No question.
Well, what's your culpability?
I think that what happened, from my perspective, was that I let Peter do his own thing. I let him go down the path. I saw problems coming up. At that point, Peter already wanted to do it totally his own way. Wasn't listening. Not that I have all the right answers, but when I've been around long enough, when I can see some warning signals, when I can see players that are not responding, when I can see the bottom third of the lineup that's tuned him out. We had players that were tuned out, and we talked about it. We talked about it at the conclusion of the season, and he freely admits that there were players that he lost, and there were times when I should have
stop this.
Don't go a different direction, because you're going to lose these guys, and it's well nigh impossible to get them back. And I felt I let him down, a guy that didn't have NHL experience or background as a player, or very very little as a coach. And, you know, I left them to sink or swim, which is a lot of managers do. But I think I should have been more involved with it.
How do you allow a team that has not really overachieved at all, that doesn't have any huge stars on it, that has a guy making $84 million who scores 16 to 20 goals, who has Pekka who did nothing second half of the year, how do you allow those kinds of, let's face it, average hockey players, how do you allow those kind of players to dictate, while the coach has lost me? I can't talk to the coach. If it's Wayne Gretzky telling you that, you got something. If it's Michael Jordan telling you that, you got something. If it's Shaq, Kobe, Mario Lemieux, you got something. You got a lot of average players telling you they don't like the head coach. That's a major problem.
Well, Chris, first of all, you've made a quantum leap to a conclusion that those are the only reasons why that we're making a change. I mean, I'm seeing things on the ice without talking to any one of them that makes a difference to me. I'm seeing the results of what
was Laviolette a good coach for you or a bad coach for you?
He has nothing to be embarrassed about in terms of the overall record. I think in the end, you know, he can move on and hold his head high. I think he'll get another chance to do the job. I think he'll get a fresh start. I think he'll learn. I think we're together as an organization, as we always do, had a modicum of success, and now we're trying to move on and find a way to get better.
But you didn't tell me whether he was good or bad as a coach.
Well, there's not all an answer. I wouldn't have made a change if I thought everything was perfect here.
Well, no question about that. I just wonder about making a change again to an unproven coach. You know, you're not going to Scotty Bowman here.
No, I'm not going to Larry Brown.
Right.
But Rick
right.
Carlisle didn't get fired because there was a breakdown in communication. He probably got fired because
they wanted
Larry Brown was available.
No question.
There are not a whole host of Scotty Bowmans out there.
I understand that.
40-year-old range. We made a change for a different reason, and I have a long history with this guy, and I have a comfort level with him, and I think he's going to do. He's going to be successful at the next level.
Where was your owner in this?
There's no secrets there. He knows what I know. We have a direct line. We don't have there's no president here.
What was his feeling about Laviolette's job?
Well, obviously, if he felt differently, we wouldn't be making the change. He's the guy that pays the freight. If he had felt differently, I wouldn't be talking to you today.
But I mean, was it a move that you sold him on, or did he see something he didn't like?
You know, I hate to talk for the guy, but I think he was in agreement with my assessment in the long run. I mean, he's somewhat of a hockey novice, but he could see the It was not difficult to see the problems at the end of the year.
Mike, again, you're getting into a communication breakdown of why the Islanders collapsed. And I don't know how you figure they collapsed. You made the playoffs. You're over 500.
I didn't say that they collapsed.
Well, you did. You said you won four or five games in your last 22. I mean, you made the playoffs, and in the NHL, that's a successful season. And you said it was a communication breakdown. And again, I'll get back to the question you haven't answered yet. How do you allow – it's not like you have Wayne Gretzky in a team. How do you allow – let's face it, mediocre talent. How do you allow these players to dictate to you, I don't like the coach, I can't talk to him, I've tuned him out, and then you take that and fire him when he's made the playoffs 2 years in a row?
You know what, Chris? I just told you a couple minutes ago that's not the cause and effect relationship. You're wrong about that. That's something that you've assumed.
You
first
said
of all,
here
you're
twice
talking about, you're
that
demeaning,
the players tuned him out.
That's right. They did tune him
well,
out.
Well, how do you allow the mediocre players to tell you that?
Are you? Can I finish?
Yeah.
Ultimately,
answer the question,
the
please.
Ultimately, the players determine the outcome of the game. If for whatever reason, and they are blamable here. They did not act professionally, and they did not play selflessly. They have a lot of blame in this. This is not all about Peter Laviolette. But having said that, once that happens, I don't know where else to go. We're going to just pack it up and package it up again and sell something else to them from the same sales pitch. I don't think it works. I'd love to have it tried again. It would have been an easy way to go. I don't think it's the right way to go. And if it doesn't work out, then it doesn't work out down the line. But I'm telling you, from my experience and the best of my knowledge, once this breaks down, it is almost impossible to get it back. And that was the breakdown. And if you talk about mediocrity, Alexi Yashin was a finalist for the MVP in this league. Michael Pekka has been a two-time Selke Trophy winner. We have four defensemen, probably all of them played in an All-Star game at some point or another.
Mike, go ask Ottawa.
Players on this.
Go
team,
ask Ottawa what they think.
Underachieved.
Go ask Ottawa what they think of Yashin. They couldn't wait to get him out of here. He has not played well for the Islanders. He floats in and out of games. You watch him in the Olympics. He floats in and out of games. And although he had some good moments in the postseason, he scored what? I don't even know. 16 goals, and you're paying him $84 million. I don't want to hear about Yashin, who is some great player. For the Islanders, he's been mediocre, and you can't – if Yashin's got a problem with Laviolette, and you didn't say he did, but if he did, he should go look himself in the mirror.
And if he's got a terrible job here. We're okay by making the playoffs the last 2 years.
What do you
and
want?
It's okay just to make the playoffs.
Yes.
Look who was the leading scorer on the team the last 2 years, both in the regular season and the playoffs. His name's Yashin.
Let me ask you, how many goals did he score this year?
He did not. I don't have my stats in front
16,
of me, but he definitely underachieved. There's no question.
Well, you think this team
had a miserable power play.
Let me get this.
A difficult year.
Mike,
so did Michael Pekka.
You think this team was better than a first-round playoff team, talent-wise?
I don't know how good it was.
It didn't act as a team. There is no way.
I don't even know hockey.
There's no way.
Did you have more problem with where you finished in the regular season to set up your playoff seeding, or with the round against Ottawa?
I had trouble with both. I mean, we limped in. You know that if the Rangers would get hot, we really limped into the playoffs. We had no drive, no energy, and when we should have been excited, we were just dead to the world. And that had gone on for quite a long time. And as far as the playoffs were concerned, we rose up and played our one good game. The first game of the season might have been the best game we played all year, actually. Might have been our best game.
You played well in game three, too.
We didn't play well in game three, Chris. You didn't watch the game well
enough.
Had 10 power plays in the first two
periods. You have no big players on this team. This is not a big offensive
team. Do you make that assessment?
You got $30 million pay. What's your payroll? $30 million. This is not a big offensive team.
It is not. There aren't too many teams in the league that are that offensive anymore. I mean, the way the game's played.
You had no chance to beat Ottawa in that series. You're dreaming if you think you did.
Well, we'll never know how close we could have come if we had played the way we played in the first game. We were good enough to beat them in game one, Chris. Why weren't we good enough to beat them in game two?
Because it's one game. It's a seven-game series.
That's right. But if you're good enough to play, and if you're motivated, and you're disciplined, and you're conditioned, and you maximize your talent.
Let me get this correct.
Maybe you get there.
You think that you guys, top to bottom, had the same roster that the Ottawa Senators did?
I'm not asserting that. I'm telling you that we as a team did not play as a team and didn't reach our potential. Could we have moved on? Yeah, I think we could.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.